Blog Talk Radio.
I've got a good woman at home who thinks I do no wrong. But sometimes, Lord, she just ain't always around. And you know that when I fall, I can't help myself at all. And I get about a rambling man, put a cold one in my hand, 'cause you know I love to hear those guitar sounds. Don't you play, I'm so lonesome I could cry, 'cause I get all
about enough of that shit. Saturday night. What's up, you bitch?
Yeah.
How you feeling, brother?
Good. Good, man.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You ready to do this? It is a late show. The late version of this show. Well, to start off, I guess the only way to do this, do it properly, today in our history, October 3rd, we celebrate the 22nd anniversary of the Battle of Mogadishu, or as they would call it, the Day of the Rangers, Operation Gothic Serpent. Men from the 3rd Battalion, 75th Regiment, Delta Force, and Air Force Pararescue, and, of course, the gentleman from the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment. I'm going to go ahead and read these names because I feel it's still very much pertinent. Starting from the 1st Special Forces Operational Detachment, Delta Force, Master Sergeant Gary Ivan Gordon, killed defending Super 6 Force crew, awarded Medal of Honor and the Purple Heart. Sergeant First Class Randy Shugart, also killed defending Super 6 Force crew, Medal of Honor, Purple Heart. Staff Sergeant Daniel D. Bush, crashed on Super 6-1, mortally wounded defending the downed crew, Silver Star with a Purple Heart. Sergeant First Class Earl Robert Fillmore Jr., en route to securing the first crash site, awarded the Silver Star, Purple Heart. Master Sergeant Timothy Grizz Lynn Martin, mortally wounded by an RPG on the convoy, died while en route to a field hospital in Germany. Silver Star, Purple Heart. Soldiers of the 3rd Battalion, 75th Ranger Regiment, Corporal James Jamie Smith, killed Crash Site 1, numerous medals with for Balor with additional devices. Specialist James M. Cavaco, killed on the Lost Convoy. Sergeant James Casey Joyce, killed on the Lost Convoy, multiple awards. Corporal Richard Alphabet Kowalski Jr., killed by an RPG. Sergeant Dominic M. Pilla, killed on Stryker's Convoy. Sergeant Lorenzo M. Ruiz, mortally wounded on the Lost Convoy, died en route to Field Hospital in Germany. Staff Sergeant William Wild Bill David Cleveland Jr., crew chief on Super 64, killed. Staff Sergeant Thomas Tommy J. Field, crew chief on Super 64, killed. Chief Warrant Officer 4, Raymond Iron Man A. Frank, Super 64's co-pilot. Chief Warrant Officer 3, Clifton Elvis P. Wolcott, Super 61's pilot, died in crash. CW3, Donovan Bull Brilly, Super 61's co-pilot, died in crash. Last but certainly not least, soldiers of the 2nd Battalion, 14th Infantry Regiment, 2nd Brigade, 10th Mountain Division, Sergeant Cornell Lamont Houston Sr., killed on the rescue convoy. Private First Class James Henry Martin Jr., killed on the rescue convoy. 22 years later, and it still is a pretty big deal. Dustin, you want to touch on that for a second? I'm going to take care of something real quick.
Yeah. This is definitely a day to remember that. We've seen the actions of the men who died there and survived are lessons learned that we still use today. It changed Army doctrine, and it definitely changed the way we do things to this day, because of their sacrifice and what they did.
Sorry, buddy, I'm back. Didn't mean to put you out there like that.
That's all right.
Who do we got? Let's add some folks to the conversation. Justin, is that you?
I just gave
you're on
you
the
link,
air.
So.
Who's this?
Hey, this is David.
Oh, Ski. What's up, brother? Getting off
not
to
much,
a
not
slow
much.
Start. Getting off to a slow start. We just read the names of the gentlemen who perished 22 years ago, October 3rd, 1993, Battle of Mogadishu. Definitely a sad day.
Some of the bravest men in the history, to say the
that's,
least.
Yeah, that's for, just speaking of brave men, I don't know if we'll ever hear him. If he'll ever get him on the show, but what about Chris Mintz?
Let me say this about Chris Mintz. He is what every single one of us epitomize, you know, and what every American should be like. I mean, this man, without regard for his own life, without regard for anything but the safety of his fellow Americans, jumped into action. I mean, the fact that this man, without even a second thought, jumped to protect his fellow Americans is how this country should be.
I agree wholeheartedly.
And I mean, the fact that, you know, we as Americans were able to come together. I don't know, Preacher, if you saw the GoFundMe page for Chris Mintz.
I did. 18 hours, and it was upwards of over $500,000. I don't even know what it's up to now.
But
if it's not, yeah. Just Dustin, while you're on the phone, see if you can find that GoFundMe page and let's see what that's up to now. That's I don't want to. I don't know
but
if it was this morning. Go ahead.
The thing I have to say about this brave man is, you know, he and this is kind of the thing, and you know, GoFundMe has these comments, and you know, you see these people that are just so hateful and angry. You know, I saw a comment that was like, oh, you know, he's the one that started this GoFundMe, and that's the only reason he did this, and it just kind of pisses me off, you know, because today's America, that's what people have the mentality of, is the only reason people do anything good is for money. The only reason people do anything good is because they expect some kind of reparation for their actions, the opposite of this case. You know, this guy, you know, was sitting in the hospital, and I don't know exactly who it was, but, you know, somebody went out there to say, hey, this guy's going to have, you know, stupid medical bills. You know, there's going to be things that we need to take care of for him. So let's start this GoFundMe page. And it really just speaks to the volume of heart that people have when it comes to guys like this. And it speaks to the fact that, you know, these guys are still in our thoughts and in our minds. You know, and I've seen a few of these pictures, this guy just, you know, this cheeky smile on his face, like, you know, just thumbs up. And that just goes to show his character. You know, he's not trying to play off this depression or play off, oh, my God, I'm hurt. You know, he has a smile on his face. And, you know, just like any of us would, it's a smile of, I protected somebody. I did my job and protected my fellow American.
That's an excellent point. It really is. I'm trying to search here and see if I can find
it. It's at $675,000. Was 4 hours ago.
That's absolutely insane.
It sounds to me like he's going to have a hell of a time starting to walk again. So you're talking a long time for a road of recovery. It's,
well, yeah, he's going to have a hard time walking because of the size of his fucking balls.
And, you know, Preacher, that's what I was going to say. You know, this man, you know, a lot of people just, you know, don't understand the severity of what's going on. You know, just like what you said, Dustin, you know, this guy, he is facing lifelong medical issues. But,
yeah,
he still has that smile on his face. There is no, you know, seed of doubt that, you know, you get from that smile. There's no questions of this man, you know, courage and honor and, you know, self-sacrifice for what happened. You know, he just has a smile on his face. He, you know, he's, like I said, he's one of the bravest men I know. I mean, he jumped in fire without even a second thought. And now, even with all those lifelong medical, you know, issues, he still has a smile on his face. Because, you know, guys like us, we know what that smile is.
It's a fuck you.
Right, exactly, as well.
It's a fuck you, I lived. Fuck you, I lived. That's what that smile is. I love it. I love it.
And the other thing I want to say on this and is that, you know, those people that, I don't know if you heard of this yet, Preacher, but, you know, he lined people up and asked them their religion. And if they said Christian, he shot them dead.
I did hear that, and I actually took my mom to lunch today, and I was talking about this, and CJ Simrak, who will be on the show a little bit later, we were talking about this last night, and he actually posted something today, and he said the bravest person in America to date. The bravest person in America was the second person to stand up and say Christian after the first one was shot in the fucking head. And
absolutely.
You know, I wasn't going to bring it up, and I think Dustin will probably kill me for bringing this up. But the fact of the matter, what pisses me off, and what, I mean, just absolutely fucking makes me irate, is the fact that President Obama, I'm just going to call him Obama, gets on the fucking TV and he calls for stricter gun control laws. And my mom said it this morning when we were out to lunch, and this is all that she would say about it. Cain killed Abel with a rock. We did not ban rocks. Because if someone who is truly evil is going to do evil, they're going to fucking find a way to do it.
And, you know, I actually read a statistic today, Preacher. You know, Honduras has the strictest gun control in the entire world. You know, it's just
is it worse than
fear-mongering
cowards? Is it worse than Australia?
Worse. 10 times worse.
Really?
And they lead the entire world in murder rate. Yet you look at Switzerland, and you know, again, you know, just kind of throwing this out there, you know, you look at Switzerland where it's pretty much mandated that they have a gun. They do a monthly training. Literally, by the time they reach your age, they have a weapon, and they have the lowest crime rate in the entire world.
Wow.
You know, it's so sad. So sad that people are so worried, you know, such as, you know, people like Hillary Clinton or President Obama, you know, they're so worried about their own agenda that they will ignore their own facts. I watched that speech that he gave, and somebody tried bringing up, now I don't know exactly what it was, but of course it was something that he didn't agree with, and he shut them down immediately and had them escorted out.
Well, here's the thing. I will say this, and then I'll get off my soapbox, okay? I live an hour and a half from Chicago, Illinois. Chicago, Illinois had 58 shootings last weekend. 58 shootings. Gun violence. They've also got some of the strongest and most strict gun laws in the entire United States. The President of the United States is from Chicago. Well, we don't know where he's from, but that's where he is supposedly
from. He's from Kenya.
Well, wherever. But anyway, he that's where he hails from. And he has the gall to go up there and say that we need stricter gun laws. When his own city, where he's, you know, he has a house there, is falling apart under these strict gun laws, what that does is it just takes away the ability for people to defend themselves with their own guns and gives the criminals the option to use their guns. They're not going to stop using guns because of a law. They're going to still use guns.
Right, just, and I always say gun laws work like drug laws work.
Yeah. But that's the extent of my little soapbox. It's fix Chicago.
There's a recap. Fuck Chicago. Take all the innocent people out. Build a wall like Escape from New York, the Snake Plissken, and call it a fucking day. You know, here's the gist of it. Chris Mintz, if you're listening to this show, and I'm going to make sure that you get a link to this show somehow, if I got to share it 1,000 times. I saw something that you posted a couple hours ago, and brother, let me tell you, anybody who's hating on this kid, anybody who's hating on you for what you did, for those lives that you saved, I want you to write a letter, and I want you to, now this is for anybody who is hating on Chris Mintz, anybody who's talking shit about Chris Mintz, this is what I want you to do. I want you to write all of your complaints and your issues in a letter. And then I want you to take that letter, and I want you to fold it up 3 times lengthwise. And then I want you to fold it up 3 times widthwise. And then I want you to fold it up 2 more times widthwise and 3 more times lengthwise. And then I want you to put it in one of those little Easter eggs that you hide on Easter Sunday. And then I want you to bend over, and I want you to shove it straight up your fucking ass. Chris Mintz is a bad motherfucker. for what he fucking did. Now, there's a lot of hearsay whether or not he yelled something out. I've heard it. I've read it. I don't know if it's true. Until I talk to Chris Mintz himself, I'm not going to say that he did because I don't want to put anything out there for people to paraphrase me on. But Chris Mintz, the
right.
fact of the matter is, you ran towards danger, you saved lives, and you are fucking awesome. And I fucking love you. And you get well. I hope your insurance covers your huge fucking balls, because you, my friend, have the largest balls I've ever heard of. So,
and
with that being said,
you know,
go ahead, Ski.
Just to kind of piggyback off that, you know, again, you know, Chris Mintz, if you're listening to this, brother, I want you to understand everything coming your way, all the positive stuff. You know, because a lot of us, you know, we kind of shy away from the thank yous, kind of shy away from you know, the gifts that sometimes, you know, some of the older vets, the Vietnam guys, try and hand out to us, you know, just because that's not why we do this. That's not why we wear that uniform. That's not why we serve our country. You know, but Chris Mintz, I want you to understand something, brother. Everything coming your way, you deserve and more. You know, I don't want you to feel guilty. I don't want you to feel anything but pride, brother, because you have, you know, just millions of people that are so proud of you, and we respect you more than you can possibly imagine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I always have a freaking spot on this show if you ever want to come on and freaking
Absolutely.
Talk shit. I tried to reach out to Andrew Tamarisi. I know he's on Drinking Bros and Vigilant Guard and a whole bunch of other spots, so one of these days we're going to get him on this show because he got a pretty raw deal from President Obama, too. You know, 6+ months in a fucking Mexican jail. That's just, yeah. That is
And
that
you
is
know what?
Bullshit.
Since we're speaking of getting raw deals, I don't know the gentleman's name, but the Special Forces troop that defended, you know, that Iraqi boy getting assaulted, you know, and kicked out for that. That is fucking disgusting. We
yeah,
Afghani
kid.
Afghani kid, I apologize. But, you know, that's our duty to protect, you know. And the fact that they have the audacity to do that to him, it disgusts me. It literally makes me sick to my stomach to think that they saw that and put it in a negative light like that. You know, it wasn't him losing control. It wasn't him losing his mind or snapping. It was him defending a kid. As every person on this earth, not even fucking American, it doesn't matter country, just as a human being, it is your responsibility to protect a child like that. I wouldn't have said that I would have kept my calm like he did. Because people, oh my God, you beat the crap out of that guy. So fucking what? You should have dragged that guy through the streets behind a freaking emirate. You know, it disgusts
yeah,
me that.
That guy's lucky he wasn't fucking killed.
Right. It
Straight
disgusts
up.
Me that we as Americans are punishing these people that are. It's absolutely sickening.
This is the country that we live in. There's sheep and there's wolf dogs. Sheep and sheep dogs. Fuck. I've had too much whiskey already.
Unfortunately, in Afghanistan, that is not, that's the norm. Unfortunately, that situation is the norm, at least. It was done more often than anybody would like to know.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
It's hard to continue to turn a blind eye to that. I mean, you know, we are creating a culture of people who want to do good but are so fucking afraid to stand up and do something, say something, react to something that deserves a reaction. You know, and people wonder, you know, why the world is getting so twisted and shit like that. You know, you are punishing these people that are doing good and punishing these people that have a rightful reaction to something like that and making them these bad guys. And, you know, treat them that way.
Yeah, I don't. Mm. All right, let's talk about something happy. Who's got some,
you know, something
happy?
How happy about
news?
That, how about that kid that knocked that bastard out that was trying to hit that blind kid?
Oh, that, yeah. That is freaking awesome.
That was the, and the fact that he got down, I was expecting him to be like, you got knocked from fuck out, bitch. That would have been the right reaction.
Got,
I said it when I saw it.
He actually got suspended, the kid that kid that fucking hit him.
But did you hear what his community's doing for him?
Uh-huh.
Like, I guess his parents, like, are, like, rewarding him out the ass. His community is, you know, totally leveling with them, you know, and you know, like I said, it's this PC America that everyone's so worried, but, you know, even with that, you know, we still have kids like that, and that gives me hope for the future of this country, because that kid saw that, and you know, and instead of, oh, let me get my phone and record this, he reacts just as everybody should.
Okay.
I'm glad it gives you hope for the fucking future, because all that tells me is that there's one or two guys out there. Look, this world is – this is why the Lord – and I'm not going to get biblical. I know they call me the preacher. And I know a lot of you don't go to church, and that's fine. No, it's just a Bible reference. When Jesus referred to his children as a flock, this world –
oh, my God.
Shut the fuck up, dumbass. This world is a flock of sheep. They're fucking sheep. It's not even the world. The United States, the majority of the people in this world are fucking sheep. And there's wolves. And there's sheepdogs. There's guys like fucking Chris Mintz. There's guys like fucking Nicholas Irving, Reaper, the Reaper. There's guys like fucking Chris Kyle, like the gentleman that died 22 years ago on this night in Mogadishu at the Battle of the Rangers, the Day of the Rangers. You know, so I'm glad it gives you hope for the future. All that says to me is that being a sheepdog is alive and fucking well in the United States, because I saw a group of teenagers today who were standing in a group circle. All of them had hair down to their asses. All of them were boys. They were all wearing skinny jeans. It's fucking 85 degrees outside, and these little motherfuckers are wearing skull caps and beanies and shit. And I'm just thinking to myself, not one of them is talking. They're all looking down at their phones, texting. So, I don't know if you've seen the movie Idiocracy with... Well, not one of the Wilson brothers. I can't remember his fucking name. Anyway, that's what this country's coming to. Dustin, what the hell were you going to say?
Well, I remember distinctly in eighth grade, I hit this kid. He grabbed a girl, and I hurt him, knocked him out. And my principal at the time, I was from a small town. My principal at the time kicked
him. You're still from a small town.
Well, yeah, but really small town Rankin. The principal expelled him, and I didn't get shit. My mom found out about it, went to the school, and I was in school. I got in school suspension for a week because my mom made them punish me. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been punished. But that is, I think, growing up, we had a lot more morals and values than what the generation that I'm seeing coming up has. And when we see it, we point it out. Things that would have been normal when I was growing up are extraordinary now. Does that make sense?
You know, Justin, I want to ask your opinion on something, because I was having, when I was at the VA the other day, I was talking to a Vietnam vet, and he was asking me why the suicide rate is so high as opposed to Vietnam, World War II. And I said, you know, I don't know if it's the that's what I asked him. And he said, I don't know if it's the fact that they didn't report the suicides as much as they do now.
That is true.
But
when they hit them.
No, I No, I truly believe that they hid them for sure. Especially, you know, and it didn't start coming to light until the Veterans Administration Act of 1988. But what he said to me after the fact was he believed that the increase, and he did say he believed that there was an increase in suicides. He said he felt like the increase in suicides from today's generation, from the Vietnam generation, was based almost solely on the fact that the kids in our generation were raised as pussies.
That's not true.
His words. Hold on. Not all of them. But he said that the resiliency that the soldiers in World War II faced growing up in the Depression era was absolutely unrivaled. Growing up in the 50s and the 60s, or the 40s and the 50s, as some Vietnam vets did, they were also as resilient, which that's kind of a gray area because the VA wasn't reporting the suicides. But today you have the, what the hell did he call it, the video game era, the Pepsi generation, who don't get spanked, who don't get publicly
humiliated.
That's the word I'm looking for. No, not humiliated, publicly scolded. They don't get spanked. They don't get smacked, dude. If I was messing around in a Kmart when I was a kid, I got the shit kicked out of me in the fucking Kmart. In the Kmart,
oh,
in the middle of the fucking toy aisle.
Absolutely,
and I think,
you know, I think
that's what he was actually alluding to, is the fact that the generation that is growing up now is the, you know, the hipsters and the emo and all that shit, and the, you know, the, what do I call it, the stigma around the stress card in basic training. You gotta admit that the last couple of generations haven't really been that fucking tough. I mean, there's no more fucking, and I know these guys are just actors, there's no more Lee Marvin, there's no more Clint Eastwood, there's no more fucking John Wayne. You got guys fucking, they're playing an action role one day, and they're playing some whiny emo bitch the next day. There's no fucking heroes in America anymore, except for fucking Chris Mintz and anybody that fucking straps on this fucking uniform, or a fucking policeman's uniform, or a fucking firefighter's uniform, or any of those fucking first line responders. But I actually, and you're going to hate me, Dustin, and I'm going to let you get on your soapbox here in a second, I actually agree with that Vietnam vet a little bit. I actually agree a little bit that part of the reason why our rate is so high is because these kids were coddled up until the time they went to basic training. And then what happens in basic training, brother? You know it as well as I do. Your hand is held, you're ripped down, and you're rebuilt to be a fucking lean, mean fighting machine. And if you didn't have resiliency before you went in, and then you don't have resiliency when you get out, and you have a system like the Veterans Administration who's failing you, what's going to happen? Because you don't have the tools to do it yourself. You don't have the tools to be resilient. Before I go into too far, I'm going to let you go ahead.
Well, there's a lot of things that you can say the suicide rate is the way it is. You can also say, look how many of our fellow brothers and sisters that have died in Afghanistan, Iraq, and can you imagine the numbers that they would be if we were trained the same way that they were during the Vietnam era, or for that matter, World War II. We're better trained now to save a life, to use a tourniquet, to give them fluids and keep them alive. We all went through the same training, the buddy aid and all that shit. Had they not done that, those would have been casualties, died, you know, killed in action.
Yeah, but that's, no, brother, that's not what
he's
saying, though.
I know, but wait. Instead, those are guys that are coming back here. So there, you've got lots of amputees, brain injuries. I mean, the numbers are staggering. How many have come back to the U.S.? They're still alive with all these horrific injuries. And where in Vietnam era, they didn't come back. They died there. Do you see where I'm going with that?
I'm trying
to. The number of injuries and the number of guys that are coming back here compared to the Vietnam era, they don't really compare.
I'm not comparing those though. What I'm saying is what I've moved on into is the fact that some soldiers today, a good number of the suicides, and I would not even venture to guess the percentage of suicides. I'm just saying, I think part of the reason, and I'm saying part of the reason why we have so many suicides is because of how those kids were raised prior to going into the military. Because they don't have the skills. Look at the World War II vets. What did they go through 10 years before the war started?
Great Depression.
Yeah. Where you either fucking were resilient or you died. You dealt with it. You adapted. You overcame. So instead of discipline and adapting and overcoming, you know, being ingrained as you're a child and taking those things as a child and rolling them into your military career, these kids today are coddled all the fucking way to basic training.
And, you know, Preacher, I just got to say this, man. I agree with you. You know, I remember growing up as a kid, you know, if you had a bully, you dealt with it. You know, I remember when I was a kid, you know, I grew up in Palmdale, California, and, you know, there was a lot of fights. There was a lot of times where I had to defend myself, and it got to the point where my mom, I remember this, my mom sat me down and she looked at me and goes, I mean, if you think you're going to get hurt, you beat his ass first. And that was acceptable. Nowadays, you got these kids that are getting these flyers of, oh, if you're getting bullied, go to a teacher, or if you're getting bullied, you know, and I'm not saying that kids shouldn't, you know, find an outlet that allows them to kind of escape that. But, you know, just like what you said, you know, we're raising this generation of just pussies. You know, they don't want to stand up for themselves. They don't want to, you know, make that problem just theirs. You know, we're breeding this mentality that if you have something wrong, the only way to resolve it is by getting someone to help them fix it, you know. Like I said, when I was a kid, there was never a question of what to do if there was a bully. You know, you fought for yourself. You showed that you respected yourself enough to fight back. Whereas nowadays, I mean, I've heard it go so far as to, if you have a bully, let him do what he has to do, but after it's done, then go tell a teacher. It's like, fuck that. You know, if you have somebody that's in your face like that, and you know, if you have somebody that's trying to hurt you like that, you don't expect somebody else to take care of it. You don't wait until it's over and then find somebody to deal with it. You deal with it yourself right there and then. And the sad thing is, parents are so afraid, and I think that's kind of the other side of this, Preacher, that parents have been forced to kind of accept this or be ostracized if their thoughts or their mentality was something other than what is accepted.
You know, that's a good point. That's a very good point. And I'm not, this next thing isn't related, but it is. It's not real. I don't think it's related to as far as suicide goes. But another thing that pisses me off about kids today, and Dustin, I think we've had this conversation because my nieces, your daughters, you're all going through FFA, whatnot. I absolutely hate fucking kids get ribbons and medals just for participating, even if they lose.
Absolutely. I cannot agree with that. I mean,
Hold on just a second. I want to hear Dustin's take on this, because I don't think it differs, but I think it might just a little bit.
No, I don't. It doesn't differ from me at all. I can't believe the way that we do things now. You're raising a whole generation of children not to exceed, but just to participate. That's what it is.
Yeah, they're saying it's okay to suck.
Yeah. First place isn't the first loser. Second place isn't the first loser, because that's the way I was raised. That's the way that most people I know my age, second place is the first loser. You don't want to be the first fucking loser. You want to be in first place. Fuck the cheerleader.
Right.
You know, that whole mentality, that's the mentality that we want.
Go home and fuck the prom queen.
Exactly. You don't want to be that fucking, yeah, you don't want to lose. What's wrong with that mentality?
What I was going to say is I don't remember the gentleman's name, but there's an NFL player. His son came home with a participation award, and he made him give it back. I love that. I smiled cheek to cheek, ear to ear when I saw that, because I was like, you know what? That guy is raising a winner. That guy is raising somebody who's not going to accept handouts and is going to work his ass off for everything he wants.
Yeah, and what's wrong with that? Absolutely nothing.
So,
yeah.
I think it's fucking stupid.
We all do, brother.
Seriously, we're raising a fucking country full of twats. Seriously.
Now be careful there. I have all girls, so.
No, and not like twats and girls. I mean twats and little fucking pansies. Every single one of my nieces is tougher than half of these little motherfuckers running around with wieners. So that's not even relevant.
Well, and you know, I'm the same way, Preacher. You know, I got three nieces as well. And, you know, I'm kind of tough on those girls, but, you know, like, one of the things I do is I love scaring crap out of them. It's fun. But, you know, it got to the point where it's no longer fun for me, because they don't even, they just look at me like I'm stupid. Like, I try and scare them, and I no longer can. And they just look at me like, trying to get
Weber
me.
Weber has six girls, bro.
So
whatever story you got, yeah, he's got six daughters.
Jesus.
Yeah. That's why he drinks so much.
I was just getting ready to say, good God, man.
Yeah. He drinks because he has six daughters, and he has six daughters because he drinks. A little fucking riddle for you.
You gotta close that revolving door, bro.
Oh, yeah. It's closed now.
No, it's not.
No, it's
not?
Not?
No. I'm having a little boy. One way or another.
Whatever. Okay. Listen, we're gonna take a little station identification break. Shout out to my boy John Worthington. He's listening all the way in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. John is a good dude. We've known each other for a minute. He's a good guy. He's going through a lot right now. I'm glad he could have a little bit of enjoyment listening to the show. CJ Simrak from Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, although I personally think CJ is a little bit of an asshole. Just kidding, brother. Love you. You can catch CJ at Cookie's Tavern in Philadelphia on the Marine Corps birthday, November 10th. He'll be talking about Vigilant Guard and a whole lot of other issues. Really good guy. So catch him on there. I couldn't find, you guys are just going to have to deal with it. I wanted to play something for the anniversary of Mogadishu. This was the only thing I could find. It's a little bit corny. I don't really care if you don't like it. Pretty much lick my balls. So here we go.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret, silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men we'll test today, but only three in the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand, men who fight by night and day, courage taken from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men we'll test today, but only three win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest, make him one of America's best. He'll be a man, he'll test one day, have him win the Green Beret.
Oh, I take it Dustin didn't like that.
Oh, I loved it.
You know,
I love
it. It gives me chills, honestly. I mean, that song, you know, really, really resonates with me. You know, and,
dude, when I was with my dad, the only way I could stay up at night was if I shined his work boots. And my dad worked at San Quentin State Penitentiary. That was the only way. And one of the movies that we would watch, well, they were all John Wayne movies, but one of them that we watched repeatedly was Green Beret, and absolutely one of my favorite movies. I've got B.G. Smith on the line, and we're going to get to him here in a second. He's got something to add to our little conversation. B.G. Smith.
Howdy. How's it going, y'all?
What's up, buddy?
Look, here's one of my main things that it's not said a lot. These studies are 22. What's on veteran suicide, of course. That's our main focus at Bug Out and Warriors Crossing. What it comes down to is only 21 states report back of the suicides. So we're talking less than half of the state report.
Well,
actually, the amount of suicide.
BG, actually, 27 states only report veteran suicide.
Well, from what I've gathered, it's been 21, but that's still neither here nor there. We're talking about a lot more people potentially could be doing it than the 22 that we talk about. But here's not what's talked about. It's the age groups. Now, from some things that I've done research on, it says the veterans that come from Vietnam era that have lost everything, they've done, you know, they had PTSD, they had trouble with their wives, they're divorced, now they're homeless. They're the ones that are committing suicide. But if you look down into it, the soldiers under the age of 30 and particularly from 18 to 24 is your highest risk rate. They are the ones that think we have so much to offer, we're doing so much, and then they come home and they feel abandoned, and the easiest way out is a bullet. Now, they don't talk about the female veterans, which I've gotten a big argument here lately of, I don't see many women reaching out, and they don't, actually. It's mainly our men that reach out. What they do is they poison themselves as well as firearms, where in males it's mainly firearms. So what we need to do is educate our youth about, hey, when you come home, you're coming back to a different world. It's not the same as your, oh, everything's fine, you're going to go off and do this, come home, you're going to go to college. That's not reality. You're going to go see and do things that you never thought was possible. You're going to lose friends, and you're going to feel ways that you never thought you would ever feel. And that's what gets me. And we need a better way to reach out. Because how many people is on social media? Yeah, a lot. Is everybody? No. Now, here's what we do get. The most people that reach out are the attention grabbers. I just want somebody to talk to and make me feel all warm and fuzzy. The people that are going to do it, they're not going to reach out. They're going to do it. We can't stop those. And that's where I have my biggest problem. If they were better informed, maybe we could actually make a difference.
BG, I will tell you one thing from my experience, my personal experience, because I've been down in the dumps as low as you can get. I honestly have. The best is soldier to soldier, and it doesn't matter the generation. The guys that I talked to the most were the World War II vets and the Korean vets at the VFW. Yeah, I drink a lot of beer, but that's just me.
Cheers,
I got the one-on-one, go to the VFW. If you have problems like that, and it's the best advice that I could give anybody. I'm older. I'm a lot older than most of the guys that were in country in Afghanistan.
But you're like 37.
I'm
40. I'll be 40 in 2 months, so I'm 39.
Oh, that's right.
You
are old.
Yeah, I was almost done sucking titty when you was, you know, out of diapers.
BG, you were sucking titties last week.
Shit, I was sucking titty earlier today, but that's neither here nor there.
But the best advice that I have is go to those VFWs, go to the American Legion. Listen, talk to people there. Talk to the old-timers. They've got a lot of advice that will work, and they did live through it. It's the shared experiences.
I agree with you.
Some of the stuff that I've been looking up, you know, they analyzed 21 states from 1999 to 2011 is where they got the 22. I know you said 27, but everything that I'm looking up, you know, certificates of 21 states from 1999 to 2011, it's not in the right context. The report itself by the Washington Post, you know, it's all speculation. Now, I like the number 22. It's easy to remember. My son used it as his baseball number. I put it on my jersey the year before that, and people asked why. That's so I wanted to get it out there. Hey, 22 people a day, you know, and I put bug out military across it. People asked about that. That's how I got my name out there and was kind of do things locally. You know, that got me to do it. But 22 is a fabricated number that it's a good number that we can use, but it's not reality. We need to do some study into physical numbers, and, you know, that's hard because we got to cross state boundaries. But we need this if we're going to actually try to help our veterans. You know, the awareness needs to be out there, and what we're doing is giving a false number. You know, and I'm all for about the 22, don't get me wrong. It's a good number, but it's falsified.
Hey, Preacher, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
That's Doc on the line with me, by the way.
Hey, brother, it's Doc Roger Plain. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, Doc?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. Hey, I don't want this to come across wrong or anything, so I'm kind of, you know, preparatory, you know, a little bit what I'm going to say to you. But, you know, you guys, I was listening to you a little bit earlier, and I've got to disagree with you a little bit, you know, how we're talking about our younger youth just being, you know, like social victims or professional victims, you know, they get a halo over their head and all that kind of stuff. You know, I agree with you. A lot of them do. But, you know, what honestly, my logic and thinking that way, because I thought about that, and last 2 weeks, you know, the same thing you guys were talking about, that one blind kid that got, he was getting punched on by that other fucking shithead kid in a school in California. So I showed my son. My son's not real big into social media. You know, I showed him that video, and so him and I sat down, and I asked him, I said, what would you do, you know, if that was in your school? He said, I'd have done the same thing. You know, I'd have beat him up. I said, and, you know, inside I'm just loving it, you know, inside. So, you know, I don't tell him that. I said, but what if he came home and, you know, I'm getting on to you about, you know, getting a fight in school. And he looked at me and said, Dad, then I would sit here and take you yelling at me, but I know in my heart that I did the right thing. So there are a lot of kids and the generation that are going to step up and do the right thing.
I absolutely agree.
The problem is that their parents, it's a whole lack of parenting
That's what I was saying. The parents were the assholes fucking 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And now those assholes are fucking raising asshole kids. What fucking Dustin? I know you're gonna know what movie it was. It was a fucking Chevy Chase movie, where he went on that fucking rant about these assholes, and then
Christmas
these assholes
vacation.
Marry. Yeah, they marry other assholes, and then those two other assholes have asshole kids. That's what's wrong with fucking. That's part of what's wrong with fucking America, is assholes mating with assholes, and then they have cunt kids.
Yeah, absolutely. But we can't sell short our youth, and they're just the way that social media is, and the way that we communicate now is there's just more assholes are allowed to speak their asshole-y voice, just like
you know what
the social
I
media group
give...
dysfunctional veterans. You know, they come out there and say, I'm dysfunctional, you know, stand back. Like they're a fucking firefighter and says, stand back 300 feet, you know, from the fucking fire truck. I'm just like, dude, don't say that. That's fucking stupid.
Like,
so
I'm
here,
ready to blow
here,
up.
So
don't live near me.
Here's my, okay, what you just said about not discounting the youth. These fucking kids are fucking little cocksuckers. Like it's not about discounting the youth, but I feel that, listen, I don't even know how to fucking start this fucking rant.
No, go ahead, man. Go ahead. Let it out, brother.
There is not a fucking long line outside of the fucking Mensa office with motherfuckers filling out applications coming out of the last fucking couple of fucking generations. And for those of you who at home who don't know what Mensa is, look it up, because there's no more rocket scientists, none
hey,
whatsoever.
I got a great example. May I place one in?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just moved to where I am about a year ago. When we first got here, we met a little dude, and he seemed so nice, you know, and so wanting to be, you know, helpful and stuff, and I didn't realize he was just a little rogue rat running the fucking streets, right? And I give him $3 to help me clean out a flower bed, you know? And so it come down to it. I got to knowing his parents and everything, and I'd go down there and hang out. Actually, it was his grandparent. I knew his daddy that was a drug addict that overdosed in the driveway, okay? Now, granddaddy got to take him over. Well, granddaddy didn't want to punish him because daddy was gone, and he didn't want to feel like he was being bad. Well, he ended up being the littlest asshole you've ever met that could get on your nerves in the most absurd ways, where I wanted to punch this little kid in the face. He would go to the refrigerator and take out a beer and come walking up. And we're talking about a 9-year-old little dude walking up with a beer out of the refrigerator, open it up and take a big drink. It's like, what are you doing? I'm not going to jail for your dumb ass. He went to the neighbor's house, talked to them, got some beer off them, and brought it back. So I got my own beer now. What are you going to do? And we're like, dude, you don't understand. You can't drink. He said, yes, I can. They're right here. You know, you can't unteach the un – or I don't even know how to explain that one. You can't unteach the bad habits that these little fuckers have acquired.
I kind of disagree a little bit with that. Because I'll tell you a little story about my nephew and I. So my nephew and I – my nephew grew up – he's only had a mother the whole time and just – you know, he would come with me, and we'd be at my mom's house or out to eat and stuff like that. And I'm 40 years old, so you know about the same group that we're all talking right here. And we'd be at a restaurant and we'd sit down to eat. And once the food came there, you know, I told him, I said, Michael, take your hat off. And the first time I said that, he's like, why? I said, because I fucking told you to take your freaking doggone hat off. That's very disrespectful. You know, I'm knife handing him. You know, across the table,
yeah.
You know, just went full fucking, you know, Marine Corps on him. It's like, take your fucking head off. If you're going to eat with me, or get the fuck out. You don't fucking eat. You know, and so he takes his hat off, and, you know, just the same thing with, his, you know, pulling up his pants. And when he's out with me, I'm like, tie your freaking doggone belt up and put it around your waist. When you're by yourself, because you're 18 years old, when you're by yourself, then let the crap hang out if you want to look like a freaking little thug. But when you're with me in my doggone car, you're gonna have your doggone pants pulled up and we're gonna walk like some civilized people.
Dude, so listen, I only got 30 more minutes left. I gotta freaking go to 3 more callers. In conclusion, real quick, BG, all I'm gonna say is the only way that you can get these little motherfuckers to turn them around is with either A, how do I say this? Shock
I'll
therapy.
Put it this way. He's gone off in, he's in rehab right now. Put it that way. He's gone.
Right.
He's not in my neighborhood no more, and I'm glad. Dude, the little motherfucker come and let the air out of my fucking tires and my Jeep and my fucking motorcycles for shits and giggles.
Well, that's just fucking funny, right?
People,
there. I don't
people,
care who you
people
are.
Just need a people really honestly need a mentor or a daddy or you know whatever you want to call that.
Let's
people
let
need somebody there
conclude.
That people need somebody there that's gonna realize that hey, you know, if I mess up, this dude is really gonna freaking grab me by my shirt collar and really fuck my world up if I don't.
I don't want to go to jail for beating a 9-year-old up. That will not look good.
You are from Kentucky. I think it's legal after 7.
Only if it's a stick besides, you know, the size of your pinky.
Oh, yeah,
it's
rule,
not the rule
of thumb. Yeah. Perhaps
well,
it should have been a rule of wrist.
Thanks for having me on, man. Take care,
hey,
brother.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Fun.
You guys have a good night.
Hey, keep us in queue so we can listen.
Roger that. Bye-bye. Oh, my God. Bradley Stevens from the Vigilant Guard. You are live with the preacher.
I'm here, brother. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. Just enjoying the show from the driver's seat sometimes. how's a Saturday night in the Vigilant Guard world? I've been tracking the conversations. You guys working on anything big over there?
Well, bro, we're... I've actually got a couple things going on. It's like a carryover from last night. And there's... Brother, do you remember the guy that you talked to on the phone when we were on last weekend?
Which one?
Yeah, on John Burke. No, I was on Rachel Jackson's
show. When we were talking,
with John Burke. Yep.
I guess there's been a couple things come up with that guy. I have his intel that was just given to me here like recently, and he's come across a couple of bad spots. I've made contact with him. We've talked, and actually, when the show's over with, we probably ought to see what we can do.
Yeah, let's get on. I'll tell you what. As soon as the show's over, in fact, I'm gonna take this last call. If you want to talk to him, get him set up, and as soon as the show's over, we'll get on a conference call and we'll talk to him and we'll see if we can't get him lined out a little bit.
good to go, brother.
Sound good?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. All right, brother. It's good talking to you. We'll talk to you.
I'll talk to you here.
And let me see. I'm out of here in 25 minutes. We'll say a half hour.
Okay, man. I'll get everything set up, bro.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you in a bit. Bradley Stevens, good guy right there. Good guy right there. You know what? Let's talk to John Worthington. I know he's. You know what? I'm going to talk to John Worthington here in a second. I want to get Matt Levener. I know you're listening. I gave you the phone number. Call into the show. Call in. Where are you at? Call in. I'm going to get John Worthington on, and I'm going to get Matt Levener on, and we're going to play FKM. We're going to play the Fuck One, Kill One, Marry One.
Game on.
I can get Matt. Yes. Game on. So until Matt texts me back, let's go to my friend John Worthington up in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Johnny, you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. You know what? I don't know if you have an accent or not, but it sounds like you're all the way down in Australia.
Mate, I've been living in Wisconsin for about 13 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got a bit of a washed out Australian accent, but getting away
sounds
from that
pretty
gang
fucking
of...
Yeah. Sounds pretty getting fucking solid from... to me, brother.
Yeah, just being away from the skank for about a month and a half now, it's sort of got it back to normal. So, yep. Back to going through places like grocery stores and drive-thrus, and nobody can fucking understand me. They will, like, pause for about 2 minutes, and then they start to realize, he's not from here. What?
No,
yeah.
Shit. All right, so Johnny, do you know how to play the FKM game?
Never heard of it, mate.
Okay, good. Do you know
Matt,
how to play? Matt, are you on the air right now?
I'm on here.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Matt, do you know how to play the FKM game?
I've played once or twice.
I figured you had. Okay.
And by the way,
so John,
my last name is Leviner. I want you to say it right.
Leviner.
Yes.
Like
Levine.
as in the liner inside of the vagina?
Sure, we'll go with that.
Nobody corrects me on my own show there, cue ball. I'm just kidding.
If
Matt,
that's
for talking shit to me last
to you,
night.
Consider yourself lucky.
I do. I do consider myself lucky. So, Johnny, let me explain to you the FKM game. The FKM is F stands for fuck, K stands for kill, M stands for marry. So,
all right.
How this works is I give you three people. There could be a man. It could be a woman. And then I give you a series of diseases. Now, I can attach whatever disease I want to whichever person I want. And you have 30 seconds to pick which one you fuck, which one you kill, and which one you marry.
All right.
Sound simple enough?
Yep. Let's do it.
He doesn't sound very... He doesn't sound very excited to play this game.
Hang on. I need
all
a
right.
fresh one for this one. Hang on. Here we go.
Fresh drink?
Yes. All right. Let's go.
Okay. John, here are your three. Oprah Winfrey. Margaret Thatcher. Mother Teresa. Now, Oprah has AIDS. Mother Teresa, well, she was a saint. I can't talk shit about her. Margaret Thatcher has gangrene in the mouth and she's been on a deserted island with no douche for about the last 30 years. Yeah.
I thought I call foul. I'm throwing a flag. You're using dead. You're using dead people. You cannot use dead people.
Why not? I didn't say you got to choose while she's alive or dead. We're saying she's alive.
No, you cannot use dead people because that goes back to the necrophilia. We're not doing that. We talked about that.
All right, fine.
I used live ones.
Fine. Oprah Winfrey, Rosie O'Donnell, and Hillary Clinton.
Jesus. Fucking
hippo show.
I'm already fucked.
Just throw me in the ring.
Twice, probably.
All right, Johnny, you got 30 seconds. Go.
Oprah Winfrey, I'd kill.
Whoa. You're killing Oprah Winfrey off the bat? Oh, yeah, because she has
a
good call. Okay.
Hillary Clinton. I'd fuck her just so she'd get some right-wing upper.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah,
I like the
shit.
Way you justified that, sir. I like the way you justified that.
Well played.
Yeah,
well played.
What was your last? Oh, Rosie O'Donnell?
Yep, Rosie O'Donnell.
Shit. I've used up my two wild cards. Oh, fuck. Can I repeat one of my other options?
Negative.
No.
You got
to.
You're married, Rosie O'Donnell.
You're screwed from the get-go.
I've got to fucking marry you then. All right.
All right. You ready?
I'm still married though, so you know, not until I get fully fucking divorced. So at least I got another 6 months of freedom.
All right, Matt Leviner, you're up. Are you ready for this?
Yes, sir.
All right, Nancy Pelosi. Michael Moore.
Oh my God.
I got Rosie O'Donnell.
Let's see. Nancy Pelosi, Michael Moore, and the third.
Stephanie Rollins.
The third is the Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Oh, my God.
He backs me into a corner with this one, literally.
Hey, there is a reason why the preacher is the king of the FKM game. I'm just telling you.
So no diseases, just straight up the way it is.
Yeah, I don't think diseases will be making it better.
Agreed.
Touche. All right, I think I'm pretty sure the way I'm going to go with this. So I would. Let's see here. Given this circumstance, I think I would actually have to marry Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
That's horrible. I know.
Jesus.
Consider the other two options. I'm not marrying Michael Moore, and I'm not marrying Jesse Jackson.
I fucking love this game.
Dude, you did me shitty on this one. I hate you for this.
Hey, you're lucky I didn't say. I was going to put in Ben Gottlieb.
That would have been fucking hilarious. That would have been too easy. that definitely would have made it easy. But kill Jesse Jackson.
Good call.
And fuck Michael Moore for the same reason that... He fucked, what's her name a while ago? Hillary. Have some right wing up in there.
Oh my God.
Okay, Dustin, your turn.
All right, I got you.
All right, go ahead, hit me.
All right. Actually, hey, I think we all get to pick one for Kyle.
Okay, John. John, you
agreed.
Pick one. Dustin, you pick one. And Matt, you pick one.
All right, you guys, go ahead.
Not everybody wants.
Jenna.
Yeah, let's not all do this at once.
Yeah, Caitlin, go ahead.
Jenna.
What was his?
Caitlin Jenner.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh,
come on,
it's legal in 50 states.
John Boehner.
Oh, damn.
All right.
I'm going to cry.
All right. Honey Boo Boo's mom with fecal vomiting. I like that one.
Oh, fuck.
She's got the ass splatters.
Oh, fuck. This is horrible. This is horrible. All right. Caitlyn Jenner, John Boehner, and Honey Boo Boo's mom.
Y'all.
With the green apple splatters.
Green apple splatters. All right. Fuck. Oh, this is so hard, literally.
He got excited thinking about it.
He's excited about Caitlin.
Yeah. Honey Boo Boo's mom is dead.
Oh, she's not.
Shit.
Oh, no,
she's dead.
She okay, got
no.
it.
Oh, yeah. No, I just killed her. I'm marrying John Boehner because he's fixing to retire as Speaker of the House, and we're going to do a lot of fishing at his cabin in Martha's Vineyard.
I guess the Pope won't like him so much now.
Nope. No, not at all. And I guess I'm fucking Caitlyn Jenner. God damn it. Because here's the deal. If I kill him, I'm marrying her. I'm fucking Honey Boo Boo's mother, and that's just not gonna fucking happen. John Boehner. I mean, to coin a phrase from when he was a kid, he's bona fide. You know, so he's got a good retirement, and we're gonna live happily ever after. And
oh my God,
Martha's fucking fingers. All right, Justin, here's one for you. You sick fuck.
All right.
Al Sharpton. let's see, Al Sharpton.
I'm killing him.
The Honorable Governor from the state of California, Jerry Brown.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't even know what that
is. And we're going to go back to the state capital of California and say Barbara Boxer. Barbara Boxer.
Ooh.
Diane Feinstein.
The
Keeper's Wife.
All right.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, motherfucker.
Yeah. Well, that's an easy one. I mean, you just made that so easy. I'll marry
her. Every time
I see
her face, I think
I'll
about
marry,
the keeper talking.
All right. I will marry Brown because he's the mayor or the governor, which means I'm set for life. I'm going to fuck Boxer.
No, Diane Feinstein.
Oh, even better. Even better. Even better because you know she hasn't had a dick in a long time.
Even
see,
after yours, she
like
still won
it. In the sandcastle.
Oh.
Yeah, well, hey, throw a flag over and fuck her for glory.
I wouldn't let a flag anywhere near her.
Yeah, she
and
probably brings
off.
Her own flag. She probably brings her own flag. I think she probably flies the flag of her people, the Third Reich flag. That Nazi cunt.
That's how I would go down.
And you're killing Al Sharpton.
Yeah, I'd take him out.
All right. Ski, are you still with us?
I'm here, brother.
All right, you ready for yours?
You sadistic fuck.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Okay.
In Rome.
Now, don't get excited until you hear the whole thing.
Oh, God.
Angelina Jolie with stage 2 leprosy.
Is that contagious or no? Just for my curiosity, it is.
Fuck
right?
Yeah, it's fuck yeah, it's contagious. Angelina Jolie with stage 2 leprosy. We've got Rush Limbaugh. Only Rush is about 200 pounds heavier, and he sweats when he talks.
Pretty sure he already does that.
And he does that for sure. And let's see.
At least he quit smoking.
Who else? Yeah. Oh yeah. And last but not least.
Oh come on, dude! Make it a good one.
Richard Simmons.
Maria Schreiber Schwarzenegger, who is starting to look like a skeleton with Robert Redford's saddlebags stretched over her fucking corpse.
Oh my god.
That's you can't even play that like that though.
No, I can because it's my show.
Hey, but even if it's Maria Shriver, you can always think back to what she used to look like.
Just put a picture over her own face.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
whenever you go back to tell that story, you can just tell everybody, "Hey, I banged Maria Shriver." You don't have to tell them when.
All right, so here's how this is playing out. All right, Limbaugh, bye-bye. Okay, that's no brainer. All right. Schwarzenegger, again, fuck her, done with, easy. And it's still Angelina Jolie. Marry her. She's just filthy, stinking rich.
Well, they don't have a cure for leprosy, so your dick's
and
probably going
to
fall off.
And she's also married
after.
To Brad, so you get him too.
Right? That's what I'm talking about.
He likes to sit over in the corner and breathe heavily, looking like Bill Pullman from fucking True Lies.
Ooh.
Still, Mary, I'm sorry. It's status deal.
Best line of that movie, by the way. I got a tiny dick. It's pathetic. I got a lie to get women.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, fuck.
I've been surprisingly productive while I was on this show with you, Kyle. I just want to let you know that.
Hey, I am glad that I could help. I really am. I really am. CJ Simrak sent me a message. He wants me to tell everybody that Philadelphia is not only the city of brotherly love, it is also the birthplace of the Marine Corps. I don't know why I give a shit about that. But I wanted to let him know that. Yeah. So, CJ, I gave your Marines a shout-out. Congratulations.
Hoorah.
On being formed in the same city that idolized a movie hero. Good call on that.
Good stuff there.
We are down to, let's see. We are down to the last 5 minutes of the show. Man,
does that mean it's time for the lightning round?
Yeah, lightning round. I'll tell you what. You guys got 5 minutes. We got 5.5 minutes left. Two of those I'm going to take up. You got 3 minutes to try and give me the best round of FKM that this show has ever seen. John, Matt, and Dustin, hit me with your absolute best shot. This is the lightning round. You've got 5 seconds to choose. As soon as I call your name out, you've got to give me the best one that you can fucking think of. Starting in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Matt, you're up. 5 seconds.
Oh, let's do... Ah, shit. Let's do... Rush Limbaugh. No, we did Rush Limbaugh, wasn't it? Newt Gingrich, Bill Clinton,
there's
George W.
Oh,
Bush.
No, nope. Only one.
Only one what?
No, you're giving me one. John's giving me one. Dustin's giving me one.
Oh, you should have explained that a little better. I'll go with Newt Gingrich.
All right, Johnny.
Kissy. And she's blind.
Who?
That's too easy. Tactissi. You don't know who she is?
Oh, Tactissy? Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just fucked up, because I already know what she's getting. Dustin.
Blind was not the ailment to put on that one.
No. Weber, choose.
All right, I'm going to go with... it's a tie between Stephen Hawking and Richard Simmons. How about this? Stephen Hawking is being pushed by Richard Simmons, so you take him a package deal.
Ooh. Oh, man. He just blew the freaking world up.
I'm killing Richard Simmons, pushing Stephen Hawking. I'm fucking Rush Limbaugh. Since Tactissy is blind, she won't be able to see any ailments on my dick, and I'm marrying her for the duration of my life. Better luck next time, bitches.
Hey, don't worry. Tactician's going to shoot you.
She might be a little
fucking blind.
She can't shoot, so you'll have to deal with that.
That's fine. That's fine.
There are worse things in life, correct?
Yes, there's way worse things in life. You guys kind of dropped the ball on that one. I'm a little disappointed.
Hey, I started off strong. Everybody else let me down.
Hey,
I'm a rookie at this. I got to write a few things down.
Oh, I could blow that out of the water.
Hey, all right, hit with Steve. You got 1 minute.
All right, Jane Fonda. But you have to spend every waking minute with her. Okay.
If I marry her.
Dianne Feinstein. Yes, Dianne Feinstein. But you have to agree with her. Okay. On everything. Everything. Agree. Everything. And to finish the cup off, Michael Moore.
Okay.
Well, I know
who
Jane Fonda is.
Every single one of his
Hold
movies.
On. Jane Fonda's dead.
Michael Moore should be.
Michael Moore should be, but Jane Fonda's dead.
Fuck.
I'm fucking Michael Moore and I'm marrying Dianne Feinstein.
So you have to agree with her on everything.
Oh,
you just
God
became your own worst enemy.
I sure as fuck did. Well played, Ski. All right,
Thank
boys,
you,
this is the time. This is the time for the preacher on the soapbox. So, in closing, at a minute 30 left, I want to say to everybody out there that's listening: if you're having problems, reach out, Drinking Bros. Any of the Drinking Bros pages, Drinking Bros Vigilant Guard, hit up Justin Yaus, Bradley Stevens, Sean Bradley. Any of us will help you out. Anybody on the Five Bravo, Band of Bravos, any of those pages. Hit up Matt Levener, myself, Aaron Hart, Ben Gottlieb, Ben Myers. We're here for you guys. We fucking love you. Do not think that you're alone in this, because you're not. We need each and
not
every single
all.
One of you guys here. We love you to death. We need everybody. Everybody. We need every single one of you motherfuckers here. Because when the zombie apocalypse comes, I do not want to be trying to defend all these innocent people with all these fucking airsoft homos. So I need every single one of you motherfuckers here. I'm just saying. I don't
it's
need
Milsim,
fucking meal.
Bro.
No, it's not Milsim, motherfucker. I don't need Meal Team 6. Having my back. I'd rather have all of you guys. So 30 seconds to go. Here we go, and we're out. Here is the McManus brothers with my favorite scene from Boondock Saints.
What a fucking idiot.
Fucking what the fucking fuck? Who the fuck? Fuck this fucking... How did you do fucking... Fuck! Fuck!
It certainly illustrates the diversity of the work.
Are you guys still there?
Yep.
Yeah, I think...
Yep.
I think that was a fucking excellent fucking show. I fucking loved it. The FKM
Dude,
game.
You're usually done by the time I get home from work. I didn't even know you were still rolling. Like, we had a freaking hangout going and everything.
No, I actually had to work late, and so I just started it a little bit late, and we only ran 90 minutes. But yeah, usually we go from 8:30 to 10:30. So I'll be interested to see what the numbers look like. But literally, before I even started the show, we had 380 people had archived the show already and saved the link. So
nice.
The only show to do better than that was actually the Dependopotamus show, and that show had 875 live listeners.
Jesus.
Yeah, and that one had almost 1,500 fucking live downloads. So it's interesting because before we started this, right after the Dependa show, there was two gentlemen from the Southwest division of Sirius XM that heard the show and absolutely fucking loved it. So, man, fucking one of these days, if this show ever fucking takes off, if I ended up on fucking Sirius XM, it'd be a fucking riot.
We'd be there.
That'd be
hilarious.
Yeah, it would be. Fucking Meal Team 6.
You just popped off with that one, dude. That was fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's fucking...
I almost sharted.
You probably did. You should probably check it. Is there a hangout going right now?
Yeah.
I'm going to close this down. I got to hop on a Vigilant Guard call with Bradley Stevens real quick and talk to this Marine
better.
And see what he's got going. Matt, send me the link for that show, and I'll pop in there here in a bit.
You've got it in your inbox. Shoot me a message whenever you get in there because I'm going to do a couple things here around the house real quick.
All right, sounds good. Guys, as usual, awesome. Johnny, thanks for coming on the show, man. I hope you had a fucking good time.
Yeah, I did, mate. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no worries. Message me offline. We'll chat.
Will do.
All right, guys. We'll see you next weekend.
All right, later.
Dustin, Weber, I'll call you tomorrow. And he's gone. All right, boys. We'll see you.
All right, later.